and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited, hosted by TIL Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Welcome everyone and thanks for joining this Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited. The investor updates have already been uploaded on the stock exchanges and on the company website. In case you do not have a copy of the same, please feel free to reach out to us. To take us through the discussion we have with us from the management team, Mr. Bimal Gokuldas, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sunil Goyal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Dilip Gokhale, Senior Executive Vice President, and Ms. Sonal Nayak, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the business and the financial performance, which will be followed by the Q&A session. I would like to remind you that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that the company faces. These risks and uncertainties have been mentioned in our annual report. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Bimal Gokuldas for the opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek, and thank you to TIL Advisors for setting this up. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending this call. I'd like to start by giving an overview of Q2 for our company. As you have seen the presentation put up on our website, we had a top line of 126 crores, which is flat compared to the previous quarter. And about 25% higher compared to the same quarter of the previous year. In terms of profitability, the profit before tax was 8.28 crores compared to 11 crores in the previous quarter and about 8.6 crores in the same quarter of the previous year. If you look at the 6 month results, we've crossed 250 crores top line. And 19 crores is the profit before tax as compared to about 188 crores top line and 10.4 crores profit before tax for the same first half of the previous financial year. So it's been a difficult quarter mainly on account of two areas. In the first instance, as I mentioned, logistical challenges on the boron business. You see there was a change of distributor by the main supplier of the boron raw materials. And the previous supplier used to keep stock in India. Now we have to buy ex-Turkey and pay advance before the material is shipped. So that changes the time for arrival of the vessel by nearly 90 days to 100 days. And the new distributor took some time to set up the logistics. They still don't have any stock and no immediate plans to have stock in India. So, in fact, until April, they didn't get their organization set up at all. So that resulted in some delay in the shipments and it's only now in the month of November that we've had sufficient material to operate the plant at capacity. So we've lost those sales and that profitability as well. And so therefore, in spite of the previous quarter having a planned shutdown, and this quarter not having a planned shutdown, the top line hasn't increased. The other reason, and this is also clearly mentioned in our presentation, is that export, particularly to Europe, have come down. On the positive side, and that's not because of competition or anything, but it's more because the consumption in Europe has come down. We haven't lost business to competition. But the, because of internal issues within Europe, including their energy policy and things like that, they have reduced their consumption, and in fact a lot of the plants are shutting down. In terms of what are we going to do about looking at new markets? So we've explored particularly the Latin American markets, and happy to inform you that even the Chinese markets, and both those are shaping up well. While it will take time to replace the specialty chemical business of Europe with other geographies, we've made a reasonably good start. We've also commissioned at the end of the quarter a solar power plant. The full effect of that, of course, will be seen in this quarter, current quarter onwards. But we expect to reduce not only our electricity cost, but our carbon footprint even further with this. And more than 80% of our requirement at Roha will be covered by renewables and not by fossil fuels. So with that, I'd just like to sum up. A difficult quarter, but we've done the best we could under the circumstances, and we look forward to the boron business recovering from the second half of the current quarter onwards. And with that, I'd like to open up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Sanjay Lada from Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on boron business. So from, what we understand is from you guys are facing slight problem in Q1 regarding the raw material supply, and to almost, Q2, it's a plant shutdown for the entire quarter. So could you please elaborate on what exactly happened and what caused this? And it would be really helpful if you could quantify the loss of this business in terms of revenue and, whether this business is a high margin business or not, or how should we think upon that one?
Any other question you have?
Yes, sir. So, my second question is regarding on Kutch smelter. So you had, in the previous year, you have cautioned us that because of the new facility coming up, the realization of the commodity business would have a negative impact. So now we are witnessing post this capacity coming up, the prices are inching higher to that, what we understand. So could you please possibly explain what is happening and what are the other factors at play here? Are the prices are expected to remain high for a while, and how should we think on that line?
Okay. Please complete your questions, then I'll answer all of them.
So the other business would be on, related to, my other question would be on related to export and so and so forth. So if you can come one by one, so I can ask you on that specific questions, if at all.
Okay, on the boron business, I explained a little bit in the introduction. Basically, the new distributor didn't have any setup or any experience in the business. So they had to start from zero. And there was no smooth transition from the old distributor to the new distributor. there was a complete lack of communication from the side of the suppliers, very slow communication from the side of the distributors, and the stocks that we used to buy from stock in India. So the lead time was like a matter of days, like a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And now we suddenly had to start with a lead time of 100 days. And that too with a new company which didn't have any financial setup, they didn't have proper banking arrangements, they couldn't accept LCs. A lot of issues for a typical, you know, it's a typical new business issues. And therefore, in fact, there were two companies that they said you pay the money into one company, shipment will happen to from another company. We said we can't do that. And it took them time to set up their whole logistics and financial arrangements. Now it's done. And things are have started running smoothly. As I mentioned, only from the month of November are we seeing reasonably good volumes. So, you know, I've mentioned in earlier calls that the boron business would be around 10 crores per month. And that's what we have lost in terms of top line. And it's again a mix of, you know, commodity boron and specialty boron. So we don't discuss exact margins, but, you know, these are typical margins that we would see for those businesses. In terms of the Kutch smelter, it has started operations. Sulfur costs have gone up. Not only for us, but for all consumers of sulfur and producers of sulfur-based sulfuric acid. So far, we have been able to pass on the price increase to the customers. So the top-line growth is really a price growth, not a volume growth. And we expect that once the smelter is fully operational, there will be some impact on the domestic market. Domestic market is also growing because the main end use of sulfuric acid is fertilizers. And the policy right now by the government is to increase the domestic production of fertilizers. So that is on one side, there's increased output of sulfuric acid, but also increased consumption. At the moment, we are in a stable position from the market side, but I had cautioned because this would be a big disruption when it would come on stream, at least for some time until the consumption fully catches up with the new availability of material. So that caution statement continues, and so far it has not affected the bottom line, but we shall see how it goes in the future.
So to follow up for the first one, as you mentioned about the boron business, just trying to understand, is the situation fully operational enough, or is, you know, our shipment and all that process has been gone by, and Q3, from the Q3 onwards, you will see, you know, things are going and up and running so far. So to say, is the right thing to say, or it will take a quarter from here on as well?
From the second half of Q3, we will be in normal operation.
And sir, on the cut side, you said that sulfur, the prices are going up and therefore you are able to pass on the prices. And you also mentioned the cautious sign of that, because you are mentioning that India plant, once the operational things will not get right. I couldn't understand. Could you highlight more in detail on that aspect if possible?
So I'm not, you know, I'm not privy to the actual operation status of the Kutch smelter. They have started supplying sulfuric acid into the market, and as they, you know, fully scale up, it will put a large quantity of material into the market, which is bound to disrupt the pricing. We don't know when it will happen. We don't know the extent of, but I'm just giving a cautionary statement as a matter of good governance.
Understood, sir. So my next question would be on export business. So if possible, could you please quantify our exposure to European and the US market? It's been a while that the European market has been sluggish, though you have stated to moving to newer geographies, as you highlighted in the commentary that Latin America and China, you are moving up. And what are your plans to, you know, further diversify on that, or, you know, increase that market in Latin America and China or any other market apart from US or Europe?
Yeah, so we are putting efforts to replace Europe. As I mentioned, looking at Latin American as well as Far East markets, and there is always a, you know, a curve timeline which is required for entering new markets. Europe, we have been established for many years. We were doing, I don't have the exact numbers, but we were doing, you know, our total exports were about 100 crores at one time, 120 crores even. And out of that, at least 40 crores or so would be to Europe. So that has practically disappeared. And that is what we are looking to replace. Of course, we don't just want to replace. We want to grow also. But that's the quantum of the loss that we are facing. And it's all specialty chemicals, so that was a good contribution to the bottom line.
So, sir, as you also mentioned that, you know, that in the Europe plant has been shut down. Is that mean that going forward, let's say, for assuming a year and two, for from a two-quarter onwards, so all that we are not, will be not able to supply on the Europe market, or is there any problem specific to the country, specific to the problem, or are we seeing any revival on that terms?
So, honestly, you know, until they change their energy policy and industrial policy, I personally, in my personal opinion, I don't think the European chemical industry will revive in Europe. The big companies, of course, may set up plants in other countries, so I'm not talking company specific, but I'm talking about the European manufacturing is going to be very difficult. So a revival under current policy scenario to me looks difficult, but I'm certainly no expert on European chemical industry.
So my another question would be on R&D and the new product development front. It's been a while that we have heard that you are on the new product that we are working on. So if can you please share any new product pipeline or any new names of the product, if you could help us understand the industry size, the product size, and the application on that front, if you are looking to.
So, yeah, we are currently not added any new products. We are working on process development. We are looking at expanding our applications and the within the same chemistry areas. So, for example, if we are doing thiophenols, we are looking at different types of thiophenols. In the specialty borates, we are looking at some newer specialty borates. But we are not, for the sake of confidentiality, we are not specifying which product until we are at a different commercial stage.
But sir, any specific product, any industry you are looking at, or if you can share any thought on that?
Not at this time.
So, sir, I will come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kalyan as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. First of all, I would congratulate the management for making the business in a genuine manner. You are one of the top class management, I think, in sharing the information very, very genuine manner. So broadly, I will ask only one question, sir. So being a small cap company, what are your goals that you have set for upcoming years so that the small cap company can become big. So you have completed so much of capex already, but because of the industry dynamics, so the top line or bottom line were not increased as much as I expected, rather. But in future, is there any chance for that re-rating of the top line and bottom line? As per your understanding, is there any possibility for going for big capex, sir? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your kind words. You know, I can just say, you know, I don't want to give any futuristic projections, but I can just say that we are working within our areas of expertise, particularly boron chemistry and sulfur chemistry, to come out with new products. We are not currently looking at any large capex. We are looking at incremental projects which will sort of not have a big impact on our borrowings as well. You know, we've reduced our debt, as you can probably see from the balance sheet, and will continue to do so. We'll be using some incremental, incremental capex we'll be doing using our existing cash flows as well as some borrowings. But the idea is not at this time to do any large capex. We will do incremental things only for at least the current scenario. If any opportunity comes up, or if we believe that any of the products we are working on could grow to a level where we would, you know, need more than just the existing facilities, and we would need to rethink our plants or anything like that, we are more than happy to do it. We are not averse to doing that, but we'll wait for the right opportunity, because currently the opinion, not only my opinion but that of the board and the management, is that it's better to be cautious under such an uncertain scenario. Main customers in Europe going down, a lot of production is shifting to China, a market which we know very little about as yet, although we have started some business there. But, you know, their scale of operation, their efficiencies, the government support they get is tremendous. And we need to be sure that we can compete in the long term before we take on any additional capital risk.
Okay, sir. Just a follow-up question to my initial question. But actually, in chemical business, there are so many companies that are going for hydrogen, hydrocarbons, and fluorochemicals like that. So, is there any plan for? Why? Because my question is related with the chemicals. Those who are having the much demand, is there any possibility that management can think on that aspect of? Thank you, sir.
So thank you, but at the moment we are not considering it, but we are open to ideas, and we will certainly look at any opportunities if we believe it is long-term sustainable.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all my from my end, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priya Patel as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Sorry to interrupt, Priya. Your voice is coming muffled.
Hello.
Yes, it is loud and clear now. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Can you please give a segmental performance breakdown, like in the utilization for each segment, specialty, and for what is the headroom for growth in the existing facilities for each segment?
So our commodity business, which is, you know, sulfuric acid and allied products, that operates at, you know, at more than 90% capacity, I would say, you know, between 95 to 100% capacity. The specialty chemical business is at or maybe slightly below 50%. You know, that's where we have a lot of room if the demand comes back or if we create new markets. So, and that is also, of course, where we have the higher margin products. So this is the challenge we are facing at this time.
My second question is regarding diversification of supplies of the raw materials for bottles. Given your update, its supply could still be a, given the distributor is new, are we exploring any more alternatives?
Could you repeat that, please?
So the diversification of supplies of the raw materials of boron business, given your update, it seems like the supply could still be a challenge given in the distributor is new. So are we exploring any more alternatives?
So we could explore, but the fact is that the current source is by far the most economical source. So it's better to, you know, build up some more stocks and things like this. And the change that happened earlier this year came as a complete surprise. Normally these things happen in a more managed frame. And this was a surprise to everybody. So it's not practical to say that we will have we will be able to diversify the supply chain for boron, because what we have is the best, it's something which we need to optimize within the existing framework.
Okay. And my next question is on the working capital requirement. Given the new terms for the boron business and the rising prices of the raw materials in the commodity chemicals, so what is the driving working capital requirements, and would we see an increase in the short-term borrowing because of this?
You're exactly right. We will need more working capital. We have already arranged that with our bankers, and they are supporting us.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next follow-up question is from the line of Sanjay Ladha from Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the, again, opportunity. Sir, I wanted to know that the supplier which you talked about for the boron and the distributor from where we are routing to, is it not possible that we directly, contact the manufacturer and then, get the direct supply? Is it not viable enough?
It's not possible given their structure.
Understood. And then my another question would be on capital allocation front. Since, you know, I see for the last 3-4 years we are repaying the debt, and we are on the continuous front to repay the debt, in my understanding. And since you are saying that from Q3 and Q4 onwards, our boron business will resume normalcy, and if that happening, then we are seeing 150-160 odd crore of top line and 20 crore of bottom line at the EBITDA level. So wanted to know what we are able to do going forward. We will continue repaying the debt, any buyback plans, or any other management are thinking on that line or new product development, any thought on that side?
Well, first of all, I didn't make any projections on the future profitability or anything like that. Because while one thing can go up, something else can come down. It's not steady state. So, you know, no projections for the future. But certainly, you know, we are looking at growth. We are not looking at currently any buyback or any such corporate action. We will currently reduce our term loans. I mean, that's going to happen anyway from our cash flows after we have spent whatever we need on CapEx. And at the moment, as the previous investor asked, we are increasing our working capital requirement a little bit to fund this the extra requirement of the boron business.
Okay. Sir, can you share, I just forgot, what is the CapEx plan we have? How much is being already done? How much is being the pending amount? You know, what are the plans for the next year if we are doing anything sort of that, if you can highlight that?
So, nothing significant at the moment. About 10 crores is our CapEx approved for this year. And it will be around the same level next year unless we do some other projects. So, we'll come back to, you know, the board as well as shareholders if there's anything significant.
So my last, just wanted to give you a request that if on the disclosure front, since, you know, our boron business would be a larger part of the business or significant enough, can we break it down to commodity, specialty and boron business separately so that, you know, we get a better understanding going forward for the business?
So, that may not be in the interest of the company, but we will look at it.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on a touchtone telephone. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Anil Bagadia from EquiCorp Associates. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So just two quick questions. So since you said on the part of diversification, you are looking at existing products, but new industry and new application use. So is that more focused on the mid-premium segment or the high specialty segment where you obviously have low volumes? So, and how are you seeing the traction there? Because entering a completely new industry does take time to develop customers, send batches, get approvals. So I mean, it's a fairly long gestation project. And obviously, we're also entering new, we are trying to see new geographies. So some more understanding there.
Yeah, you're right. It does take time. But, you know, there are two aspects to it. One is the process development aspect, which can also take time, and one is the market development, which can take time. So when we are looking at new applications for existing products, we already have the capacity, we already have the chemistry ready, so that time is saved. And it's not that we are not looking at new products. What I mentioned was that we are looking at products which are similar to our existing products. So we can quickly commercialize if the demand fructifies. So yeah, we can't. You know, there's a limited time, limited impact we can have on the customer approval time. You know. That's out of really out of our control, but we can by building good facilities, by building good quality assurance systems, by making our products sustainable, you know, like lowering our carbon footprint and things like that. You know, we can be the preferred supplier and we can, you know, stand out amongst the competition to that extent. So it encourages customers to look at us rather than look at our competition. So we have been actively investing on those fronts also.
Okay. So also the primary use of sulfur is basically in fertilizer, agrochemicals, and then followed by paints, pigments, dyes, etc. I mean, and construction chemicals too, which of course is slightly laggardier. So are we so is that my understanding right that this actually forms a majority of our end industry use applications for our products?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
so when we are trying to enter into using existing product chemistry, if we try to enter into the little more sticky parts like pharma, nutraceuticals, or probably the semiconductor side, which has got very few suppliers. So is there, how does it pan out in terms of the gestation of customer approvals? Because they're already supplier base for all these existing products for them.
Yeah, but you are talking about two extremes. You know, one side, you know, is the fertilizer and other industrial applications. And then you mentioned things like, you know, semiconductor. Frankly, there is no consumption as yet of the semiconductor raw materials in India. There's no fab. So unless you have the fab, you can't consume this. And those are very, very difficult to manufacture chemicals. Nobody has the technology in India, and very few companies have the technology worldwide. But in terms of other end applications, polymers, for example, you know, electroplating chemicals, things like this, there it's not as extreme as semiconductor, and there you can make entries reasonably quick. There is actual consumption in India. And that's the space we are looking at.
Then lastly, China actually happens to be the world's largest producer of sulfuric acid, and also they've been using a lot of sulfuric acid for a lot of end industry applications. So is there, are there spaces where you actually see China could probably be a good piece in terms of our replacement from Europe to, I mean, in the APAC piece, China, and probably LATAM, a few countries there?
So in
because China itself would be having a lot of industries on the end sulfur application. So I just wanted to understand, are there any white spaces where we as a company can probably fit in and probably supply it to them?
Yeah, absolutely. So China is the biggest producer by far in the world, but that also makes them the biggest consumer. You have to also find the right niche, you know, and the way we are positioned. You know, if there is some product, you know, in sulfonation or something like that, we are as good as anybody in the world. And as the Chinese, you know, move downstream, there could be opportunities for us to enter into the market. And we are talking about specialty chemicals, low volume products, where we have just started exploring earlier this year. But we believe there are good opportunities.
Okay. So, and lastly, on the sulfate side, are we there on in the segment supplies to cosmetics or home and personal care products? And is that a good percentage of our revenue or a very small percentage nascent stage as of now?
Very small.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. And wish you best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bimal Gokuldas for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I'll just take the opportunity to thank all the investors. And maybe one point which I didn't make in my opening is about the U.S. tariffs. And just wanted to say that, you know, not a single existing customer has refused product from us because of the new tariffs. So they've continued buying as usual, and it's a positive thing. I'm sure a lot of other chemical industries are also facing the same positive response from the U.S. market. And we hope that in the days to come, a good trade deal will be signed and it will be the end of all this acrimony. So, again, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to attend this call and for your questions as well and for the patient hearing and for your support. You know, we've had always good support from our shareholders for any decision we need from them, and we hope that will continue. Thank you very much.
On behalf of TIL Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.